Good to see everyone. Good morning. Also, we want to wish our condolences to Andy and his family, whose wife just got up from Shiva. May the family only have simchas. May we only share simchas together in the future. And we wish you a tzeischa m'shalom in your trip of Limud HaTorah. May you have a nachas from this trip. Pasuk tells us in this coming week's parasha in connection with the Yantif of Pesach, Kol melacha lo yayaseh bahem. No melacha should be done by them on Pesach. One is not allowed to engage in melacha on Pesach. However, the mechilta infers from the language of the pasuk implies that any melacha should not be done, which perhaps even implies that it not be done for you, even if you're not the one who's engaging in melacha, but it's being done by somebody else. If you look at the Ramban over here, Oisalef, he quotes from the mechilta in the last line, "Kol melacha lo yaseh bohem." No melacha should be done for you. Lo yaseh goy melachtecha. You can't even have a nachri do malacha on your behalf, even if you're not the one who's engaging in that malacha. And Rashi quotes this in his explanation of the pasuk, "Perish afiu al yedei acherim." Even if it's not you who's engaging in malacha, but someone else on your behalf, that is also prohibited on Yontif of Pesach and Kal Vachomer from Yontif to Shabbos. The Ramban is quick to disagree. That we have numerous times throughout Masechet the Shabbos that the Issa of Amir or Nachri, asking a Nachri to do Malacha on your behalf, is only an Issa Midrabbanon. He quotes one place, the Gemara Masechet the Shabbos, and the Afkuf Nunam Aleph says Amir Lago is a Shvus, is only Issa Midrabbanon. So the Ramban claims that this inference from the Pasuk is only an Asmachta. It's there's support for the Issa Midrabbanon of Amir or Nachri from the Pasuk of Kol Malacha Le'Yosef Behem, but this, of course, is not a formal Issa Midraisa. The Isser of asking a Nachri to do Malacha for you on Shabbos, on your behalf, would only be us and Midrabbanan. There's a support for it from the Pasuk, that's perhaps the implication of the Pasuk, that Malacha should not be done on your behalf, even if you're not the one who's engaging in Malacha, it's the Nachri, but that is only an Asmachta, support from the Pasuk, but it remains an Isser Midrabbanan. Why is it? Do we need an Asmachta from the Pasuk? So the Malbim suggests in his Perush on Chumash, that it's perhaps because the Taz has a rule throughout Shulchan Aruch, which he mentions a few times, that Chazal are limited in their ability to make gezeiros, in that they cannot make a gezera which contradicts an explicit pasuk in the Torah. Because all of the halachas, whether they be deraisa, the rabbanon, have to function in one consistent system and framework of halacha. So the dinim derabbanan have to blend in together with the dinim deraisa. So the Taz claims that Chazal are limited, restricted, that they cannot institute the gzera midrabbanan, which contradicts a pasuk in the Torah. For example, you're not allowed to blow musical instruments, whether Shabbos or Yom Tov, but Chazal cannot institute an Issa midrabbanan to blow shofar on every Rosh Hashanah. Why? We do that on every other Shabbos in Yom Tov. The answer is because the Pasuk tells us explicitly we're supposed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, so Chazal don't have the ability to override a Pasuk in the Torah. And so too claims the Malbim. It's almost, explicit in the Torah that the mitzvah of Shabbos is a covenant, is a relationship that exists only between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael, and the Umos HaOlam are permitted to do malacha on Shabbos. How then can Chazal prohibit us from asking an Achri to do malacha on our behalf? So Malbim claims that's why we needed a support from the Pasuk. It already is implied, perhaps in the language of the Pasuk, Kol malacha lo yaseh bohem, all malacha should not be done. Almost implies even on your behalf, even if you are passive, shouldn't be done on your behalf. Why do we need, even though the Yisav Amir Onachri is only Midrabbanan, we needed a support for it from the Pasuk so that Chazal would be able to make such a gzera, make such a prohibition Midrabbanan, in order so that it shouldn't contradict an explicit Pasuk in the Torah that the mitzvah of Shabbos is limited to Klal Yisrael, doesn't include Umos HaOlam. There is already a support for it from the Pasuk that allows, enabled Chazal to institute this Yisav Midrabbanan. So Amir Lanachri, even though perhaps it's implied by the Pasuk, Amir Lanachri remains asking Lanachri to do malach on your behalf on Shabbos, remains an Isser Midrabbanan. There might be one instance, which is actually an Isser Midrabbanan of Amir Lanachri, because the Pasuk tells us in Parashas Mishpatim, in connection with Shabbos, Laman Yanuach Sharcha V'chamarcha V'chamarcha V'nofesh Ben Amascha V'hager. Not only do you have to rest on Shabbos, your animals have to rest on Shabbos, the Avadim have to rest on Shabbos, and the Ger. So who's this Ger? So the Gemara says in Masechet Yevamos, it's not a Ger Tzedek, a real convert. He's a Yisrael with regards to all matters of mitzvahs and Yisurim. He's a Ger, he's a Yisrael.
Who's the ger?
So the Gemara says it refers to a ger toishav. A ger toishav is a resident alien, a non-Jew, who has formally accepted upon himself to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. You would say, well, every Nachri, whether he formally accepts to do so or not, is obligated, is included in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. But if he formally accepts to do so, he's given the benefit of the fact that we allow him to, we can sell karka to him in Eretz Yisrael. He's allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael. Normally, one is not allowed to sell karka in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew, but if he formally accepts to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, is the status of a ger toishav, and he's permitted to reside in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos, that's who's referred to by the pasuk. Leman yanu al sharach v'chamarch v'inafish ben amascha v'hager, that the ger toishav is included in the mitzvah of Shabbos. So Rashi interprets the Gemara simply that a ger toishav is obligated in Shabbos. That must be what the pasuk is telling us. So Taisus argues that's not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. All a ger toishav is he's formally accepted upon himself. So he subscribes to the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. And he's awarded the status that he can live in Eretz Yisrael. That's why he's a resident alien. So Tais says, but he's only, at the end of the day, obligated to the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Shabbos is not one of them. So Tais explains that the Gemara is not referring to the fact that he's obligated in Shabbos. What it means is, if you ask him to do a malach on your behalf, that'll be an Iser of Amira Lenachri Midairaisa. Midairaisa, he is excluded from doing malacha on Shabbos on your behalf. That's what the pasuk means. V'nafesh ben amascha v'ager. He can do malacha for himself, but he can't do malacha on your behalf. And in that sense, it fits. It's consistent with the rest of the items that are mentioned in the pasuk. Leman yanuach sharcha v'chamarcha. Your animal can do malacha. The animal can do whatever he wants. He can't do malacha on your behalf. V'nafesh ben amascha. And eved, can't do malacha on your behalf. And so to the ger. Can't do malacha on your behalf. He's not obligated in Shabbos independently, but he can't do malacha on your behalf. If you'll ask him to do malacha for you, it will be an Iser Midairaisa. So you'll say, well, where do we have a ger toishav in our times? But if you're familiar with the discussion regarding the Shnas Hashmita and in Eretz Yisrael in our times, that there was a suggestion made generations ago by different Gedolim, that in order to enable people to live and prosper in Eretz Yisrael, farmers, at the same time, trying to keep the Shnas HaShmita, not to work the land during the seventh year. So a suggestion was made to sell the land to the Nachri and buy it back after the Shnas HaShmita. So one of the objections that was raised at the time that this suggestion was initially made was that you're not allowed to sell karka in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. So how can you sell the land to a Nachri during the Shnas HaShmita and buy it back afterwards? You're not allowed to sell karka in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. So the Rav Kook, who became, carried the torch for this suggestion that was made by Gedolim generations before him, it wasn't his idea, but he was the one who advocated for it in modern times. So he argued, you're allowed to sell karka, he argued back, you're allowed to sell karka in Eretz Yisrael to a ger toishav. And the Arabs in Eretz Yisrael, in our times, if they're religious, keep, I guess, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So they have the status of a ger toishav, and you can sell them karka in Eretz Yisrael. So the Chazon Ish disagreed that they do not have the status of a ger toishav because they never formally accepted to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Even if they do so, they never formally accepted to do so. And the Rambam stipulates that in order to be a ger toishav, you have to accept to do the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach because Moshe Rabbeinu said to do it. Because he communicated the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the humanity which he received at Har Sinai. And they have not accepted to do so because Moshe Rabbeinu received the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach at Har Sinai and communicated them to humanity. So Chazon Ish argued that they don't have the status of Ger Toishav. But according to Rav Kook, that all of the Arabs have the status of Ger Toishav, so to ask one of the Arabs to do a malacha for you on Shabbos is not an Iser Midrabbanan of Amir Lanachri. Perhaps it would even be an Iser Midrairaisa of Amir Lanachri.
But it's clear the Issa is on the Yisrael, not on the...
Of course, but you can't. All the coolers we're going to discuss in a second would not exist if they have the status of a ger toishav.
It's Kasha Rashi that the Asa B'Shvus, that's no Kasha. The Issa is...
Rashi says they're chayiv. Taisus argues they can't be chayiv. What it means is that you're not allowed to ask them to do malacha for you. Rashi says that ger toishav is chayiv in Shabbos. Taisus says, how can it be? It's for Jews, not for non-Jews, and they're not Jewish. So it means to ask him to do it for you. So according to Rav Kook, every Arab has the status of a Ger Toshav. How can we ask him to do a malacha for us on Shabbos? All the coolers we're going to discuss, because it's only Nisim Midrabanon. It shouldn't exist. So Rav Kook was already aware of this. And Rav Kook distinguishes that they don't have the status of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, so you can sell them karka in Eretz Yisrael. But at the same time, Bechlal Ger Toshav Lo Ibo. They're not Ger Toshav, that they would be an Iser of Amir Lenachri Midoy Raisa. They would remain like all the other Umas Ha'elam, that it's only an Amir Lenachri Midoy Rabbanan. Allow them to live in Eretz Yisrael because they're not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but at the same time, no Amir Lenachri Midoy Raisa. So, for the most part, all of our Amir Lenachri that we're going to encounter is only an Iser Midrabanan that was instituted by Chazal. There is support for it from the Pasuk, but it remains an Iser Midrabanan. What is the reason?
Rashi Shita is the Raisa, even
Blah. Yeah, the Raisa. But we don't hold like that. It's almost a believe it or not in this Rashi. Most people don't even believe the Rashi exists. No, I'm saying you have to convince people there is such a Rashi. What is the reason that Chazal instituted this Issa Midrabanan? So a number of, primarily two suggestions are made by the Rishonim to understand this Issa of Amir Lenachri. The one is not allowed to ask Lenachri to do malacha on your behalf on Shabbos. The Rambam explains that it's because you might come to do the malacha yourself. Let's say I ask Lenachri to turn on the lights, and then all of a sudden the next time the Lenachri is not there. So I might be tempted to turn the lights on myself. Rashi in Masechtos Avodah Zarah and Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph has a similar approach. He phrases it somewhat differently, but that is that the Nachri becomes like your representative. It's like your shliach. So when he turns it, not formal shlichus that we encounter the rest of Kol Torah Kula, but a kind of shlichus in the sense that when he turns it on, he's doing it at your request. And therefore, it's almost as if you did it. Presumably, again, Rashi is concerned with the fact that you might come to do it yourself. If he's your shliach, and he's doing it for you, and he's not available, you might be tempted to do it yourself, similar to the Rambam. However, Rashi, Masechtos Avodah Zarah, Daf Tezvav Amud Aleph, has a different approach, a different reason why perhaps Chazal prohibited this, and that is because of V'daber Dover. The Pasuk says in Sefer Yeshayahu, V'chibadato, regarding Shabbos, we honor Shabbos, me'asois derachecha, from traveling the way we usually travel, mimitzoy chafatzecha, from engaging in our business of during the week. We don't engage in that on Shabbos. V'daber dovar. And the Gemara explains, shlo yehidiburcha b'Shabbos ki diburcha b'chol. We don't speak on Shabbos the same way that we speak during the week. And that's how we honor Shabbos. So that one is not supposed to discuss malacha on Shabbos. You're allowed to discuss malacha, engage in malacha during the week. We're not supposed to discuss malacha on Shabbos. So, therefore, one cannot ask a Nachri to do malacha on your behalf, because you're mentioning a malacha on Shabbos. And you're not supposed to discuss these matters on Shabbos. It's one of the ways that we honor Shabbos. And so Rashi explains the reason why you can't ask a Nachri to do malacha for you is because mishum mitzoy chafatzecha v'daber dover. That's why it's aser. So it's either aser because you might come to do it yourself, or he's your representative, he's doing it on your behalf. Or it's because you're not supposed to discuss malacha on Shabbos. And the Poskim explained we needed both of these reasons. Stipler has like this, Davnei Nezer, to include two different scenarios. Of course, to ask a Nachri to do malacha for you on Shabbos, you ask him on Shabbos, he's going to do it on Shabbos, both of these reasons would apply. However, what about asking a Nachri to do malacha for you? I ask him on Friday to, come to my house and do a malacha on Shabbos. Supposing that's also usher. Why? I didn't discuss a malacha on Shabbos. I discussed it on Friday. Ah, yes. But he's coming to do the malacha for you on Shabbos. He's like your representative. And if he doesn't show up, you might be tempted to do it yourself. But by the same token, what if I ask him on Shabbos to do malacha for me on Monday? So he's not doing anything for me on Shabbos. I'm asking him on Monday. By the way, at work, please take care of this for me. So that's also usher, to ask me to do malacha on Monday Shabbos, not because I might be tempted to do it myself, it's taking place on Monday, but rather because of v'daber dov, you're not supposed to discuss malacha on Shabbos. So all three of these scenarios are included in the Issa of Amir Lenachri. You can't ask him, certainly ask him on Shabbos to do malacha on Shabbos, but even to ask on Friday that he should come on Shabbos to do it, even though I didn't discuss anything, or on Shabbos to ask me to do malacha on Monday Shabbos, all included in the Issa of the Rabbanan of Amir Lenachri, either because you're not allowed to discuss malacha or because there's a concern you might come to do it yourself. At the same time, the ease of Amir Lenachri only applies if I ask him to do something which is prohibited. What if I ask him to do something which fundamentally is permitted? I ask Lenachri to do malacha for me, I give it to drop off my dry cleaning during the week,
And he decides, to do it on Shabbos. I didn't ask him to do it on Shabbos. I dropped it off, and he decided to do it on Shabbos. So Shulchan Aruch tells us that's permitted. I didn't ask him to do it on Shabbos. He decided to do it on his own on Shabbos. So that's considered to be his problem, not mine. Shulchan Aruch says a person is allowed to send an envelope or package with a nachri, even though he might decide to travel on Shabbos. If you ask him to travel on Shabbos, that's a problem. But if I drop him my dry cleaning with enough time for him to do it before Shabbos or after Shabbos, and he decides to do it on Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah explains that's a daite denafshei ka'ovid. He's doing that all on his own. Now, this can't be abused if there is a limitation to this, and that is if it's taking place in my home, you can't apply this principle, because people might think I asked them to do it on Shabbos. So for example, if I have a help in the house and they do the laundry for me, I can't say, well, she has all week to do the laundry and she decided to do it on Shabbos. It's a daite denafshei ovid. No, because if she's going to start running the washing machine in the house on Shabbos, people are going to think I asked her to do the laundry on Shabbos. Or if, let's say, I have an employee and I give him work to do and he decides to come into the office, which is, Stein and Company, and he's going to come in, it says on the door, and he's going to come in and on Shabbos. Well, he had all week to do it. And he decided he wanted to do it on Shabbos. That's a daite denafshei ovid. That is generally true. But if it's in my house, my business, my office, so then there's a Maris Ayin, and it looks like I asked him to do it on Shabbos, and that principle wouldn't apply.
What do you tell him in advance? You tell him on Wednesday, deliver this envelope to your uncle.
Yeah.
Like, well, okay, but I'm not going to have time. I'm just going
to. That's up to you. I don't want to know your schedule. Too much information. TMI, right? Do it whenever you want.
I'm only going to have Saturday available.
I don't want to know. Dude, I gave it to you Wednesday. You have plenty of time. You decide what your schedule is your business. That's exactly the case of a daita denafshei ovid. But the Paiskim extend this principle even further. The Kaf HaChaim, quotes from the Marikash, one of the Sfarishe Gedolim, that was discussing a situation in Egypt, and it's important that it was in the Middle East, is that discussing mopping the floor on Shabbos. Now, mopping the floor, if you use a real mop, as you encounter Malachim and Darais of Skita, you're squeezing out liquid from a garment, perhaps, in certain circumstances, a malacha midoraisa of extracting a liquid from a solid derived from extracting a kernel of grain from a husk. Malacha told of dash, of mefarek, you can't extract liquids from a solid. So you can't typically ask a nachri to wash the floor on Shabbos with a mop. However, in the Middle East, we know you can clean the floor without a mop. They have squeegees because they use stone floor and there's a lot of dirt. So the Marikash said, if I ask her, clean the floor, and she decides to use the mop. But she could have used the squeegee. So he said, I asked her to do something which is fundamentally permitted. It's like the Shulchan Aruch said, I asked you to do malacha during the week. You decided to do it on Shabbos. That's your problem. I asked you to do something fundamentally permitted. I asked you to wash the floor. There's a mutter way of washing the floor with a squeegee, another way of washing the floor with a mop. And the Nachmi decided to use the mop. So the Marikash says, that's on her. That's also considered to be a daita denafshei ovid. So let's say I have a nachri in the house. I ask her to wash the dishes on Shabbos. To use a regular sponge, as a perhaps a shayla malacha midoraisa, mafarik, you're extracting a liquid from a solid, from a garment. But if you have a Shabbos sponge, one of those things with the thick bristles, we don't have time to get into that now, but let's assume for argument's sake that that's fine to use on Shabbos, which I believe that it is. So those, you have a Shabbos sponge. I have a Shabbos sponge with the hard bristles. We know what I'm talking about. And you have the regular week sponge. And I ask her to wash the dishes, and she decides to use the regular week sponge, the regular sponge. That's up to her. I always say it's always a good idea to have these Shabbos sponges around, even if you don't plan ever on washing a dish on Shabbos, because you ever have someone in the house and you want them to be able to wash dishes, you better have the Shabbos sponge there. Because if all you have is the regular sponge, if all you have is the regular mop or the regular sponge, and you ask them to wash the dishes, then you're asking them to do a malach on Shabbos. So you have to have the Shabbos sponge, if only there for symbolic reasons, that at least now it's up to her. You decide however you want to wash the dishes, up to you. They will probably choose the regular sponge because they have no idea what that thing is. But if it's there, it's there. And they decide to wash the dishes the way they want. That's up to them. Adaita denafshei ovid.
Why is the Maris Ayin for that?
No.
when someone's in the house and they see them using a sponge, you're going to say, oh.
There's a mutter option right there. No, no, there's a mutter option right there. So that's, I asked you, there's a heter option, a mutter option. Using the mop, but there's a squeegee right there. But if the guy is, you know, preparing the legal documents in the office on Shabbos, so how does anybody know? He could have done this during the week and he arranged his schedule for Shabbos.
What about dishwasher? Yeah.
A dishwasher also.
She decides to use the dishwasher's lab on shows. She decides on her own.
Right, so the dishwasher is worse because the dishwasher is creates noise. We just discussed in the past. It's like...
the silent ones.
Yeah, there are Paiskim who say that. There are Paiskim who say that she could have used the dishwasher. It's no different than... in my opinion, you can't do that because how does anybody know Nachri turned it on? People are going to hear the noise. It's like the washing machine going. They're going to think I'm using my washing machine on Shabbos.
What if the washing machine is in a different room?
A laundry room downstairs.
Yeah.
And I ask her to do the laundry, then it's not Bebeis or Shol Yisrael. Nobody even knows it's my laundry. But they all know they all know it's... Yeah. Maybe. If it doesn't say 2C on it, you know? It says 2C, then it's...
They know she's your help. They know she's your cleaning
Then they know it's my cleaning woman. If I have a license plate, Ridnicka 1, you know, and it's in the shop, if they're working on Ridnicka 1 on Shabbos, that's a problem. Everyone knows it's my car. So the same thing over here, yeah. Exactly. I'm new. I'm lobbying for it.
Okay.
Also, but by the same thing, though, but let's say a doorman could press a button or open the door manually, and he decides to press the button because he doesn't want to get up. So that's a daita d'nafshei avad. Again, that's up to him. That he's doing on his own. I didn't ask him to do that. But this is only if it's reasonable. You can't say, well, I have a regular sponge there. The nachri could have washed dishes with her hand and soap. Nobody who knows how to wash dishes that way. Or I say, please clean the floor, and all I have there is a cloth mop. Well, she could have taken a spray can of Fantastic and a roll of paper towels that's ripped already and washed the floor with that. Nobody who's sane would ever think to do things that way. So then at that point, to say, Adaita D'nafshei Avad is a little bit, is too far. But if there is a legitimate way of doing it, either this way or that way, and she decides to do it one way or the other, that's up to the Nachri. Perhaps this principle could even be extended further. Yeah, what?
There's no way for a Gentile woman in your home to do the dishes. That's
sponge. You have to have a Shabbos sponge.
Otherwise, impossible.
How else is she going to do it? With her hands and soap? It's not reasonable to expect her to do it that way. I've never seen anyone who knows how to wash dishes. In my opinion, it's too far. The Taz, though, extends this principle even further. What if I ask a Nachri to wash the dishes in a kitchen and the lights are off? So the Nachri's going to turn on the lights. So the Taz says, well, then the Nachri's turning on the lights, not for me. The Nachri's turning on the lights in order they should be able to wash the dishes. So the Taz claims that's not considered on my behalf, turning on the lights. I didn't ask you to turn on the lights. I asked you to do something that's permitted. I asked you to wash the dishes. That's allowed. But they need to turn on the lights in order to get wash the dishes. That's Adaita D'nafshei Avad. That the Nachri did all by himself. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger takes us even one step further. That let's say I want a light on in my study. I can't ask the Nachri to turn on the light, but I ask the Nachri to retrieve a book for my study. In order to be able to retrieve the book, they're going to have to turn on the light. Oh, but the Nachri turned on the light for themselves. I ask you to retrieve a book. That's mutter. The Nachri is going to have to turn on the light in order to retrieve the book. But that's considered to be a daita d'nafshei avad. It would not be my responsibility. So therefore, if you ask a Nachri to come to your house, which we all do.
Keep the light on afterwards.
Huh? I can say, oh, please don't turn it off. I can say to you, please don't turn it off. Then I could do that. This was the old heter. They used to say the schnapps was in the office. So they invite the Nachri over. Oh, I'd love to have a drink. Oh, but we left the scotch in the other room. Do you mind getting it? All right, he's going to go and pick out what scotch he wants. This is already brought by the Aruch HaShulchan. It was a minig that they all knew about. Go get the scotch. Oh, the light's on. Please leave it on. Yeah. So, but by the same token, this is what many people do, is you ask a Nachri to come to the house, not to sleep in, they're not going to sleep over, they don't live in, but they ask him to come on Shabbos to clean the house. So not to do, I'm not asking you to do any melacha in my house, but straighten up. But they're going to have to take a taxi to the house. I didn't ask you to take the taxi. The taxi is a daita d'nafshei avad. That the Nachri does for themselves. So that's an extension of this taz, of the Nachri who needs to wash the dishes, but they have to turn on the light to wash the dishes. So too, I ask you to come to my house. All I asked you to do is that was permitted. You need, in order to do that, to take a taxi. That would all be on the Nachri's cheshbon, not my cheshbon. No, because they don't want to. You're comping their expenses. Yeah.
But I mean, where you say reasonable.
If I send one second, if I send a messenger, then no, because then what I'm asking you to do is bring a package somewhere else. That then what I'm asking you to do is traveling. But if I'm asking you to come to my house to clean, whatever they do to get there is a daita din afshi
avi. Is that taxi only way to Rabbanan? Don't I not have to worry about them being over in the Rabbanan?
But you're asking them to do it.
But if a Jew would take a taxi, that would only be an issu derabbanan, correct?
That's so that's a double derabbanan.
Right.
Still usher.
Really?
Yes. Next.
But yeah. You say it has to be a reasonable option, like the sponge right. And the...
There's coolest, but in certain circumstances, but generally speaking, it's usher, yeah.
So if they live 20 miles away or something, and then walking isn't a reasonable option...
So what? If...
So they have to take a taxi.
They have to turn on the light to wash the dishes. Saying, but that's not what I asked you to do. I asked you to wash the dishes. That's no, mutter.
But you said, but there has to be a reasonable amount. There has to be the Shabbos sponge or there has to be the squeegee.
No, so no, no.
There's not a reasonable option.
Washing the dishes is always mutter. Cleaning my house is always mutter. It's not that there's an usher way and a mutter way.
They can't get there without a taxi.
No. They can't get the safer without turning on the light. And the Taz said, that's okay, because that's not what you asked him. What we discussed before, again, this is all where we keep, the gap keeps widening. We discussed before to clean my clothes in the dry cleaner. If you decide to do it on Shabbos, that's up to you. There's a mutter way of doing it during the week or an Easter way on Shabbos. You decide to do it another way. That's your cheshbon, not mine. The Taz then took it even a step further. And he said, what I ask you fundamentally is mutter no matter how you do it. But in order to do it, you're going to have to violate a malacha. But that's not what I asked you to do. Fundamentally,
if you have to violate,
yes. As long as that's not what you're asking them to do, that's how the Taz expanded this principle. Even one step further, says the Rama. The Rama brings it over here in Shin Lam and Zayin Sif Beis.
So then, why isn't the hand washing or whatever that is?
No. That's what I'm asking you to do. And if the only way to do reasonable way to do what I'm asking you to do, let's say I'm sending a messenger and I ask him travel to the to Yonkers. It's unreasonable to expect him to walk. So then, if I'm sending you, please bring this to Yonkers, that's what I'm asking you, that's unreasonable to assume he's going to do it by walking.
But if I'm asking you to come on Shabbos...
I'm asking you, can you make my beds on Shabbos? Ooh, how are you going to get here? TMI, that's not my business. That's a diet to the Nafshayavah. I don't care how you get here, that's your business. That's your business. Yes, very fine. Let's say I have a dirt floor. The Mishnah Berurah had a dirt floor. So the Shulchan Aruch says to sweep a dirt floor. Why are you sweeping the floor? You're sweeping the floor because you want to pick up the crumbs. However, if you sweep the dirt floor, you're also going to smooth out the floor. So that's a malacha midayraisa on Shabbos if you need a smoothed out floor of chayresh. Chayresh, typically is digging a hole in the ground to plant something. But even if you smooth out the floor, is also a malacha midayraisa of chayresh. But let's say you sweep the floor. You don't have in mind to smooth out the floor. You have in mind to pick up the dirt, the crumbs. But, so it's an unintended consequence. But the unintended consequence is that the floor will get smoothed out. So it's a davar she'eino miskaven, an unintended consequence, a secondary result. It's not your primary intention. Your primary intention is to clean the floor, but it's a psik reisha. It happens every time. It's an inevitable consequence, unintended result. That's generally speaking prohibited on Shabbos. You forget the light bulb is on in the refrigerator. You can't open up the refrigerator to take out the food because the light bulb inevitably will go on. Nonetheless, the Rama says, if you ask the Nachri to sweep the floor, that's allowed. Why? Psik reishe, when it comes to Amir HaNachri, is allowed. So the Imre Baruch, or Baruch Franklin, his comments on Shulchan Aruch explains, because what did I ask the Nachri to do? I asked you, sweep the floor to pick up the crumbs. That's allowed. Ooh, you're going to smooth out the floor at the same time. It's an inevitable consequence. But that's not what I asked you to do. What I asked you to do is sweep up the crumbs, not to smooth out the floor. So an unintended consequence, a secondary result, does not include Amir HaNachri, because that's not what I asked you to do. I asked you to do something that's fundamentally permitted. So therefore, Ramosha says the best Eitzah, if you forget the light bulb in the refrigerator, we're now dated now because nobody unscrews the light bulbs, you have to have some buttons you press before Shabbos. But if the old Shaila, if you left, it could happen, you leave the light on, and you forgot to put your refrigerator on Shabbos mode before Shabbos, you could ask a Nachri to open the refrigerator door. Why? Opening the door is mutter. The problem is, it's going to trigger a million other things. But that's an unintended consequence. But that's not included in Amir HaNachri because that's not what I asked the Nachri to do. The Yitz of Amir HaNachri is limited to the circumstance where I asked the Nachri to violate a malacha. If what I asked him to do is fundamentally permitted, but something else might result, that's not included.
Is that only the only
palette? Huh?
Is
Isn't that only if it's lo nichale?
No. Even if it's nichale.
So if it's completely dark in the room.
Yeah.
And then he's gonna open the fridge.
Yeah.
And you couldn't pick anything in the fridge if there was no light because it would be pretty dark. You're still allowed to.
Yeah. Because I asked him, open the door. Opening doors is mutter.
I understand, but now you're using the light.
Yes. Oh, if no.
It's pitch dark in the kitchen.
Yes.
He opens the
correct. If it's, I want to read in the room, and the only way to get light is by opening the refrigerator, then that's not an unintended consequence. That is what you're trying to do. That's another way of turning on a light. But if I'm asking him to open the refrigerator door, that's mutter. An unintended consequence is the light's going to turn on, but that's not what I asked you to do. That's allowed.
Sikreshe,
when it comes to Miro and Achmed, the Ramah says it's mutter.
You need the light also, so it's nichal.
Yeah. So if a Jew would do it, your cheshbon is correct. Mm-hmm. If a non-Jew does it, it's mutter. Why? The answer is because Miro and Achmed is limited to what I asked the Nachri to do. All the rest is adai to the Nafshi of it. Included in the Issa of Miro and Achmed, though, is, huh?
You can't get him to turn off the light bulb in the refrigerator.
I could ask him to close the door.
But I'm saying to turn off the light bulb.
Oh, no. No.
Are you turning it off?
That would be Amir Nachri, yeah. Then you're asking him to do a malacha. The Issa of Amir Nachri includes not only asking the Nachri to do a malacha, but benefiting from a malacha that the Nachri did on your behalf. The Gemara tells us over here on Masech the Shabbos, even if I didn't ask him. The Gemara says in Masech the Shabbos over here that a person is not allowed to hire workers on Shabbos. So Yiska Adam Payalim B'Shabbos. But, the Gemara asks, what's the Chiddush? It's Amir Nachri. Not only can you not hire workers yourself, you can't oimel lechaveroi to hire workers. You can't ask a nachri to hire workers for you. So Gemara says, what's the chiddush? Of course, that's obvious. It's amiru lenachri, it's a shvus. So Gemara says, no, it's coming to imply the inference, you can't hire them. But what you can do is say, wait here till Motzei Shabbos, there might be work for you. Might be work for you. Never know. You know, it might be work for you. So you can say that to the nachri. You can be merames to the Nachri, that there might be work for you. You can hint him. You can't say it outright, but you can say, wait around Matzah Shabbos, you never know, something might happen. The Ramah writes that the only time you can be merames to the Nachri, look over here, Oisir Aleph, very important, says the Ramah, Kol davar she'asa loyma le'ena Yehudi la'soysa b'Shabbos, asa lilmos lo la'soysa. Anything you cannot ask the Nachri to do explicitly, you cannot hint to him either. But, mutter le'rames lo la'sos melacha achar Shabbos. You can ask him, wait around till Motzei Shabbos. Something might be happening then. But you can't be meramis to him to do a malacha on Shabbos. Even if you didn't ask him, you can't be meramis to him to do it. And that's why the Gemara says in Masech LeShabbos that a Nachri who comes to put out a fire on Shabbos, the Nachri Shabbat LeChabbos, ain't armim loy kabe. You can't say put it out. And you can't say, you don't have to say, al tichbe. You don't have to say, don't put it out. He decides to come and be a fireman on Shabbos and put out fires. You know, assuming there's no sakonis nefashis involved, which of course then you should call 911. But assuming not in our modern context, where there's always sakonis nefashis involved, the fire could spread, as we all know from the West Coast. But not in our, so your guy lives on an island all by himself with one nachri, you know, and then there's no one else is possibly going to get hurt. The nachri comes to put out the fire just to save my property. I don't have to tell him don't do it. And not only that, the Gemara says, but I can even scream out, kol ha-mechabe eino mafsid. Whoever will come put out the fire won't lose. That's only because it's a fire and it's b'mokum hefsid. If it's b'mokum hefsid or it's for Matzei Shabbos, I can hint to a nachri to do a malach on Shabbos. I can say, wait around or call mechabe no mafsid. Whoever will put out the fire won't lose, meaning I'll pay you. But if it's not b'mokum hefsid merubah, like the whole house is going to burn down, or it's not for Matzei Shabbos, it's for Shabbos now, the Ramah says you can't hint to the nachri to put out the fire. One is not allowed to do that. The Mishnah Brura does have one limitation on this, one expansion, and the Mishnah Brura says over here, Ois Yud Gimel, in the name of the Prima Gadim, that's only if you're hinting to him, B'derech Tzivoy. If you're hinting to him, B'derech Sip or Dvarim, you know, I tell him a story. And that's if I go up, I say, Kol Mechabe No Mafsid, I mention what I need done. I say, you know, whoever puts out the fire won't lose. I say, wait around, Tomatze Shabbos, there might be work. For whoever is interested. I mentioned the malacha. I didn't ask you to do it, but I mentioned the malacha. But if I just tell them, you know, I'm a rami, I say, our light is on and it's such a disaster and no one can sleep in the house. It would be so nice if someone, you know.
Why
You can't say that. You could just tell him, you know, kvetch. You can't say, oh, it would be nice if someone put it out, then you're mentioning it. But, you know, oh, you know, kvetch to the nachri. Oy vey, the light is on. And he decides, oh, would you like me to put it out? I'm happy to come over and put it out. So then the Mishnah Berurah says, that's not even remes. That's not even derech tzivur. That's tzivur dvarim. He says, oh, would you like me to, you know, I could say it's up to you if you'd be so gracious. But I didn't ask him to do it. You can't ask him to do it. Now it's up to you. So it says the Mishnah Berurah, Derech Sipur Dvarim B'Alma, that's allowed. By the way, if the Nachri, if I had a light on, though, in the house, and the Nachri comes and turns it off, I say, what'd you turn off the lights for? And the Nachri says, oh, I'm sorry, and turns back on the light. That he did, the Mishnah Berurah says, that he did for himself. He did it to cover, you know, cover his mistake. He made a mistake in turning off the light. Or he unplugs the urn. I said, what'd you do? So he plugs it back in before it turns off, before it gets cold. So then he did that for himself. He didn't do that for me. As it says in Mishnah Berurah.
So if he makes himself coffee, you're allowed to drink the coffee?
If he makes himself coffee?
Yeah, makes a pot of coffee.
No, that's a whole shot. He might add for you. Next time he's going to add for you. He'll say, oh, my boss likes it when I make him coffee.
I mean, the coffee machine only makes...
Why do you make a whole pot? He's going to drink the whole pot?
The coffee machine only makes a whole pot.
No coffee machine only makes a whole pot. That's a shame.
You have a hot water heater. You always fill a hot water heater. So he comes into the house, the hot water heater...
So then it's Xerah Shemi Yara Bishvilo. You can't do it because we're afraid he might add more for you. And the more you cook, the more malacha.
Always fill it up. I mean, 100%.
You do that as a courtesy for other people in the house. So that's Xerah Shemi Yara Bishvilo. He's doing that because he's going to add for you.
How about if you're in a hotel?
Yeah.
Earns a coffee made, you know,
it's a very good shot. You're asking a good question, which is really an entirely different topic, which is which deserves its own treatment. I'm not running away from it, but it's really the cruise shayla and the electricity on Shabbos shayla, which is the express packages shayla, which is a malacha Nachri is doing for a whole group of people, some of whom are Jews, some of whom are non-Jews, which is a whole bigger discussion. But let's suffice, you know, just limited discussion of Amir Nachri. If he does it, he unplugged it and then he plugged it back in, so that he did for himself. But if he did it for you, then of course that would you can't even hint him to do it. But you could be tell him derech sipur dvarim. I tell him a gansa maisa with my whole kvetching. That's allowed. By the way, you know, again parenthetical. If you have a nachri in the house who you've done this to before, you have help in the house, and she's like, "Oh, sir, I understand." Then that's not a sipur dvarim ba'alma anymore. They already know. Then you're playing charades. Then she's just trying. That doesn't work.
It only works once.
It only works once, or... No.
It's a get out of jail free.
If they know what you mean, if I go like this, and she knows, turn on the light, that's us or two. That's Amir Nachri. So yeah, you know, you can't do this. You can't keep going to this well. At some point, people know what you mean, and that's... you know, if they have a card, Shabbos guy, it's a problem, because then, you know, it's a problem. Anyway, so but if it's really I go over and they're trying to figure out what it is and they don't do me a favor, okay, they're sipur dvarim b'alma, it's allowed. The problem is, one second. The problem is, it sounds like that is okay, but the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Shabbos, if a Nachri lights a candle for you, Nachri shehidlik es haner mishtamish l'ori Yisrael. A Nachri lights a candle for himself, I can use it. In Bishvil Yisrael, usher. If he lights a candle for me, even if I didn't ask him, no sipur dvarim b'alma, no nothing. He comes and he sees me sitting in the dark, and he turns on a light for me. Usher, you cannot benefit from the light. You have to run out the house, but you cannot benefit from the light. I can't, if he turns it on in a room, he says, oh, I turned on the light for you, you can't go and enjoy that light. So Taisus asks, but why not? What happened to the Gemara that you could be merames to the Nachri, at least if it's from Matzei Shabbos or B'makom Hefsid, or we said if it's Derech Sipur Dvarim B'alma, I don't even mention the Malacha, then that's allowed. How could that be allowed? Even if the Nachri did it without me even asking at all, he does it gratuitous. I can't benefit from it. So Taisus asks, how do we reconcile this tension? So Taisus explains in the name of Rabbeinu Shimshon, Loi Dami, he says the two are not the same. He says, because if I benefit from something the Nachri created on Shabbos, even if I didn't ask him to do it, that's usur. If a Nachri turns on a light for me, even if I didn't ask him at all, no sipur dvarim b'alma, even if I didn't ask him, I can't benefit from it. When can we even discuss sipur dvarim? When can we even discuss shelo b'derech tzivui? That's only if it's turning something off, removing an impediment to me enjoying Shabbos, putting out a fire. Oh, he's putting out a fire. I ask him, I tell him, oh, the light's on. It would be so nice if it would be off. Then we can discuss, you know, if I don't hint to him in an instructive way, then that could be allowed. However, if he does something where he creates a new avenue, he creates a new item, then even if he did it without me ever asking him, I can't enjoy the item. So you can never discuss even going over to the Nachri and saying, "Oh, it's so hot in my apartment, I wish the air conditioning would be on." You can't do that, because then you're asking him to create something. Or, "I wish the lights would be on, we're eating here in the dark." Then the whole discussion doesn't get off the ground. But the only time we could even discuss being merames to the Nachri Shaloi B'derech Tzivoi, where I tell him a sob story, that's only if it's turning something off, removing an impediment to enjoying Shabbos.
About your example going into the library and turning the light on looking for Sefer.
No, I asked the Nachri, "Go get me a Sefer. Dover Heter Gomer." And he decides, "I need, in order to do this..."
He wanted to turn the light on.
I didn't ask him. I didn't ask that. He did for himself to get me the Sefer. Once it's on, that's a Nachri Shehidlik Yisrael. You got to be a lamed in here.
How's that not a remnant?
Huh? Because I didn't ask you to turn on the light. I didn't discuss turning on the light. I said it's...
So what if the Nachri is hot? What if the Nachri is hot in the apartment because it's intolerable?
I invite him over. He says, "Oh, you go out, there's Gehenna in here." And he wants to turn it on.
No, you can do whatever you want.
That's for him. That's for him. That's a Ner Shehidlik. But then you got to invite him over, and you got a Macha Kibbish for him, and that's fine.
So what? If you're not hot, then he's hot.
And he wants to turn it on?
Do you mind if you turn the air conditioning on? So you can't tell him yes or no, right?
Don't care. He's doing it for himself. That's a candle that he lights. Ner le'echad, ner le'meya. Air conditioner le'echad, air conditioner le'meya. It's good for one, good for 100. He's not adding for me. If he wants to put up a pot of coffee, he might add for me. That's that. But here, the same air conditioner is the same for everyone. One final issue. Yeah.
Lights off. I cover up. I'm looking for something on the floor. I can't find it. And he turns on the light. I'm letting
him. No, if he turns it on for you, if I ask the Nachri, "Can you find my coin, my contact lens?" And in order to find which is double motor, in order to find the contact lens, he's got to turn on the light. Then the toss is.
I can't tell him I'm eating in the dark, but I can tell him.
Good. If you have a Nachri who's going to come over to your apartment to look for your contact lens, yeah.
You can ask someone who's in a house, then, "Are you very hot?" Or if you have a guy working for you on Shabbos, if she's there, and you say, "Are you very hot?"
No, you can't do that. Then you are asking. Then you're telling her, "I'm hot."
Very hot.
No, if she's hot and she says, "Do you mind, sir, if I turn on the air conditioner?" Oh, please. But you can't go over soliciting. I think that's too far. One last issue, and then we'll get there. But just because it's so relevant. And Gemara tells them here, Mesechtas Erevin, that before doing a milah, they would always wash the baby in hot water as an antiseptic. Ahu Yanuka, but once happened, Ishtabe Chamime, the water spilled. And they wanted to do the bris, but if they didn't have the hot water, they wouldn't have their antiseptic, they wouldn't be able to do the bris on Shabbos. So the Gemara said that Abaye said to, I think it was Rava, Amalei Abaye, Abaye said to Rava, he said, "Go bring water from a different house." He said, "We can't, we have no Eruv." So he said, "Ask a Nachri to bring it." So the Nachri here is doing an Iser of Haitzah, and not in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because he said there could have been an Eruv. So it was in a Carmelis. So he asked him, though, to bring it, B'makai Mitzvah of Mila. Similarly, the Gemara tells the Masechta Shabbos, if you have an opportunity to buy a house in Eretz Yisrael from a Nachri, Kaizvin Olav Oinoy Afilu B'Shabbos, you can write the deed of sale, the contract, even on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, how can you do that? You can't violate Shabbos. No, ask a Nachri to write it for you, even though asking a Nachri to do Malacha is also on Shabbos, because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Lo Gazer Rabbanan, and it's allowed. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us over here, Oisir Ches, that to ask a Nachri to do a Shvus de Shvus, Shvus to Shvus, a double Darabanan, generally speaking, is prohibited. Asking a Nachri to do a Malacha, even if it's only Darabanan, is Aser. If it's B'makai Mitzvah, like carrying the water through a Carmelis, which itself is only Aser Midarabanan, it's not a public thoroughfare, itself is only Aser Midarabanan, so to ask a Nachri to violate Aser Midarabanan, B'makai Mitzvah, like Mila, that's allowed. Shaloi B'makai Mitzvah is not allowed. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is even to ask a Nachri to write a document. That's because Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is very special. That's above and beyond everything. Even one Derabbanan, even Amir Nachri. But all other mitzvahs, only a Shvus to Shvus. So, but this would apply to Einik Shabbos as well. If you have an alarm that's going off on Shabbos, you could ask or a light that's on in a room where somebody's supposed to sleep and there's no other bedrooms, you could ask the Nachri to turn it off. Why? I mean, ask him directly, no hinting. Because that's Miro Nachri, turning off a light is derabanan always, because you don't benefit anything, only you benefit from the darkness. So that's malacha she'ein tzricha leguf. I don't need the product of the malacha, the burnt out light bulb. So that's always a derabanan, asking them to turn off an alarm, always derabanan. So you can ask enough, you turn off the house alarm if it's going off, because no one can enjoy Shabbos until the item is off. That's a shvus, the shvus. So the makom, the mitzvah of einik Shabbos, that's allowed. However, two things. The Sharat Zion says that this should is a contingency. This is not a policy. This is only if there's no other way of functioning. Ein lo eitz acheres. If there's another way of doing it, there's another bedroom, then you shouldn't do this. But if you get stuck, the only way you can get into the room in the hotel is by asking an Akri to take the key card and to put it in the slot. There's no other way of getting in the room, then that's allowed. But if there's another way, so then you shouldn't do it. So the Paiskim debate was, should we really put ourselves in this kind of situation, deliberately? Is this a policy? Is this a contingency? Should we plan a Shabbos getaway in a hotel where the only way we're going to be able to get into the room is by stationing a Nachri on every floor who's going to open the doors for everybody? We could have picked a different hotel. So if I get stuck for Shabbos in an airport, I have no other way, okay. But should we really plan to do that? So that's a debate within the Poiskim. Some Poiskim are more open to it because you obviously picked this hotel for a reason. Obviously, there's no other option. Other Poiskim are not as happy about it. There is one final thing, the position of the Baal HaItor, which the Ramah quotes over here, Oischav, who felt that Eretz Yisrael is not different than any other mitzvah, and just like you could ask an Achri to write a contract for you of sale to buy a property in Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos, you could ask him to violate any Iser, even if it's an Iser Midoraisa, b'makom mitzvah. Not a Shvus to Shvus, a double Derabanan, even one Amir L'Nachri is allowed, b'makom mitzvah. We don't paskin that way. But yet, the Mishnah Berurah says, this is important for anybody who runs a shul, the Mishnah Berurah says, quote in the name of the Chayei Adam, that Kedai hu ba'al ha'itor lismach alav, la'at yeshvus da'amira, afil b'malach ha'dayreis, b'malach ha'mitzvah da'rabim. If it's for a shul, so to turn on the lights to daven, to turn on the lights to have a shir, so then b'malach ha'mitzvah da'rabim, the Paiskim say that we can rely on the ba'al ha'itor, even one mitzvah, even one iser. I asked the Nachri to adjust the air conditioning. That's allowed in shul, not at home. So don't go home thinking, oh, we did it in shul, must be that it's allowed, and it's allowed in the house too. They're very different. B'moka, mitzvah derabim, these things can be allowed. No. Mitzvah derabim probably means a communal mitzvah, like tefillah b'tzibur. That's something we have to do as a community, not if I have, one family over for Shabbos. That's not a mitzvah derabim. That means the rabbi. But if it's a communal, objective, a communal mitzvah, so then it can be allowed. Okay. Amir L'Nachri used to be an Iser. We discussed it. And now in our times, it's almost like a Heter. But there are still some times when it's also a Heter. What's the